The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
The MLA awareness program that is being offered by the Nova Scotia Union of Municipalities. We have with us today the Mayor of Anakinish, Carl Chisholm, as well as the Warden of Victoria County, Bruce Morrison, and I'd ask them both to rise and get the warm welcome of the House.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Needham.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, with your permission, I too would like to do an introduction.
Permission granted.
Mr. Speaker, in the West Gallery, we're joined today by a resident of the Fairview area. I believe he's been here before. On at least maybe one other occasion to watch the events of our legislature. And his name is Paul Chisson, and I'd ask him to rise and receive the warm welcome of the House.
Order, please. Time allotted for member statements has expired. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Premier. In the details of the government's budget, there is a tax break for our largest financial corporations, like banks and insurance companies. The budget actually puts a cap on the amount of tax that these large corporations have to pay. Ironically, Mr. Speaker, the government justifies this cap by saying, and I quote, "This change will encourage financial institutions to grow." Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the Premier, why is it okay to cap the tax on banks to encourage them to grow, while capping the film grant, which will stop the growth of our own homegrown film industry?
The Honourable Premier.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to thank all members of the, Mr. Speaker, the film industry, Screen Nova Scotia, who came together to work with our government, Mr. Speaker, to lay out a path forward that not only continues to allow the film industry to operate in this province, but broadens the opportunity to more people, Mr. Speaker. This is a great news story for this province. I'm looking forward to continuing to see growth in the film sector, as well as animation and the digital side, Mr. Speaker. And yes, of course, we're looking to see growth in the financial sector as well.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, it turns out that the biggest thanks that the Premier has given is to our largest financial corporations, who have had a cap placed on the amount of tax that they'll pay in our province, oddly, so that they can grow. Well, we can't get a straight answer from the government about whether the film grant that encourages our own homegrown industry will be capped or not, Mr. Speaker. So it's fine for banks to grow, but we cap the homegrown film industry, Mr. Speaker. I'll now ask the Premier, since they're negotiating with the animators, will he now tell the film industry and our digital animators, are they going to be capped or not?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to remind him very clearly, banks, as all financial institutions, pay tax in this province. We're looking forward to continue to have them grow and to pay more tax in this province, Mr. Speaker. Corporate tax, that is, Mr. Speaker. We made it very clear. We were more than prepared to change the film tax credit to an actual tax credit, Mr. Speaker, that could be applied against taxes worked. The film industry said that didn't work for them. So we said to them, Mr. Speaker, you find us an alternative mechanism that would work for you. And I'm very proud of the fact, Mr. Speaker, they ignored the rhetoric on this floor coming from the opposition members. They came to government with a solution. We're moving forward to create good jobs in this province, Mr. Speaker, to move this province forward, Mr. Speaker, despite what the members of the opposition think.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, I'm glad to hear the Premier acknowledge that banks pay tax. But you know what? You know who else pays tax? The small, homegrown, small business Nova Scotia film industry. And they're still upset that the government said 99% of them don't pay tax, Mr. Speaker, because it's not the case. The City of Toronto, Mr. Speaker, and Ontario, on their website, they make it very clear that the Ontario Film Tax Credit has no caps and no limits on the number of productions they support because they want their industry to grow, Mr. Speaker. But here, the Premier would rather give a tax break to the largest corporations like the banks, Mr. Speaker. So let's at least find out where the government's priorities are, who they really want to help. Will the Premier agree today to provide to this House a list of all of the banks and other financial institutions that he expects are going to benefit from his big break for them?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I know it's difficult for the leader of the Conservative Party to understand. There is no tax break, Mr. Speaker, for banks. The bank that paid this tax last year, Mr. Speaker, will pay the same amount of tax today and tomorrow, Mr. Speaker. Every banking institution in this province that has been paying tax to the people of this province will continue to pay the same amount of tax after the budget is passed, Mr. Speaker. This is a government that is working with all sectors to move forward to show that it is fair for taxpayers, Mr. Speaker, as well as fair to grow the economy of this province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, Paul Chasson is a person who lives with cerebral palsy and other disabilities. And his monthly budget from the Department of Community Services for many years included a bus pass. However, in January, Paul was told he no longer qualifies for a bus pass, and he's now been given enough money for 10 round trips per month on the bus. Mr. Speaker, my question for the Premier is this. Why is the McNeill government taking away bus passes that people have qualified for and depended on, in many cases, for years?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for a question. I will take the question she provided to us. I don't know the specifics about that case. We'll have a look at it and get back to Mr. Chasson on the issues brought before us. I do want to remind all members of this House, Mr. Speaker, though, after 4 years of the Democratic Party being in power, this province is in tough financial challenges, Mr. Speaker, and they spent 4 years of inaction, Mr. Speaker, and it's time that we get our fiscal house in order. But I agree with the Honourable Member. We will look into ensure that Mr. Chasson is treated fairly by the people of this province.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Paul, unfortunately, isn't alone. He's not the only one who's had his bus pass cut, Mr. Speaker. Kenna Davidson is a loving and supportive mother with a son, 23 years old, who suffers from schizophrenia. His bus pass has also been taken away, as has the bus passes of many other people. He gets just $10 a month now for medical appointment transportation only. So I want to ask the Premier, how can the Premier justify his government's decision to cut transportation to people like this young man who has to walk now from Clayton Park to North End, Halifax, if he wants to visit his mother?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I again want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. As I said, we'll take the question she provided us under advisement. We'll have a look and see what the Honourable Member is referring to, and we'll get back to those Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, earlier this year, the Premier told the Halifax Chamber of Commerce, and I quote, "We shouldn't be doing all things that we are doing. Our ministers, our departments have been asked to go through what it is they do, what is their core business, and the things that don't belong in that core business." Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Premier if he can explain to Paul and Kenna and others why he thinks it's not government's role to provide transportation allowances for people who need to travel for more than medical appointments, to food banks, to support groups, to see family, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I think all members of this House recognize all of us have a role to play to ensure that Nova Scotians who need our support, Mr. Speaker, will get those. I have told the Honourable Member that we would take it under advisement. We'll look at the what has changed. What I can tell this host, Mr. Speaker, was when that honorable member had an opportunity to choose, Mr. Speaker, she decided to embed in the cost of delivering governance, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, she decided, Mr. Speaker, to embed in the cost of government $700 million. $700 million she embedded in the cost of government, Mr. Speaker. If she had just kept pace with the growth in the economy, this government would have an additional $200 million, Mr. Speaker.
Order,
an additional
please.
$200 million, Mr. Speaker,
instead of having
a deficit, we'd be in surplus.
Order, please. Down the leader of the official opposition.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Premier. Since introducing the budget, there's been a lot of disagreement between the Premier, the Finance Minister, and the Film Industry about a number of important things, Mr. Speaker, something you might call a disagreement of facts, disagreement about the value of the film industry, disagreement about whether it's a labour incentive or a grant, Mr. Speaker, disagreement about whether the industry is actually growing in Nova Scotia or not. Premier has said that the tax credit was effectively a grant that didn't make sense for a province with a struggling economy, and then turned around and introduced a new one that is based on the Alberta model, which is a grant itself, Mr. Speaker. So I'd like to ask the Premier for clarity. Is the new system a tax incentive, a credit, or a grant?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, it is. Mr. Speaker, under the new system, Mr. Speaker, any money that is distributed out of from the taxpayers of Nova Scotia, the film industry will be open and accountable for all Nova Scotians to have a look at, Mr. Speaker. We're very encouraged and very supportive of the work that Screen Nova Scotia has done, Mr. Speaker, and we continue to look forward to work with them to ensure that they continue to grow their businesses here in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Well, Mr. Speaker, last week we couldn't get a straight answer about whether it'll be capped or not. Now we can't even get a straight answer about whether it's a credit or an incentive or a grant, Mr. Speaker. No wonder the industry has lost all faith in this government. They've had their jobs put at risk, and they deserve straight answers, and they're not getting them, Mr. Speaker. Now our digital animators, another group of young, energetic, tax-paying Nova Scotians, are up for negotiation with the government, Mr. Speaker. They need to know what the future is for their industry. There is even confusion now about what is being offered to them. So I will ask the Premier, will the new digital animation tax credit be capped? Yes or no?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I want to thank all those who continue to work with government to ensure, Mr. Speaker, that we can provide financial assistance that is fair to taxpayers as well as allow them to operate and thrive in this province. We're continuing to work with them. We continue to have open dialogue with them. We'll continue to work with them not only in the months to come but in the years to come to continue to grow good opportunities here in our province.
I'm a leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of Health, because he was asking for a question, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as of today, more than 400 surgeries have been cancelled at the province's only tertiary hospital due to problems discovered 17 days ago with sterilization equipment. All of the QE2 Health Sciences Centre machines have been shut down, and no word yet on when surgeries will resume or when the problem will be resolved. So more than 2 weeks has passed, and the backlog has grown. I want to ask the Minister, how much longer is this very troubling situation going to go on?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and the member opposite asked a very, very important question, one that is of great concern to our government, to the department. As of this morning, we were at 60% capacity for doing all scheduled surgeries. Within another day or two, we should be at 75%, working towards all surgeries, even without a temporary sterilization equipment or without a new piece of equipment ordered. So we are making very, very good progress. Shows the value of an integrated system whereby we have a number of hospitals doing sterilization work.
I'm a leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I doubt very much it would have been that hard under the old system to send things from Halifax to Colchester or to Cumberland or to the South Shore. I'm not aware of any walls that have been taken down, Mr. Speaker. But, Mr. Speaker, patients and their loved ones have to take time off work, organize travel plans, prepare themselves mentally for surgery. Mr. Speaker, we've seen many cancellations, and it's created quite a backlog on an already long wait list, but the real cost is on Nova Scotian families. So I want to ask the Minister, Mr. Speaker, when will those affected find out what will happen with respect to rescheduling their surgeries, and how long do you expect it will take to clear the backlog?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And yes, as the number of cancellation surgeries mount, it is creating a difficulty in terms of looking after the backlog. However, the Provincial Health Authority and the QE2 Health Sciences are meeting every morning to improve the amount of sterilization of equipment that is going on across the province. And as of today, looking at ordering new equipment. One of the most complex aspects of this problem is actually not knowing what the cause is, and we're supposed to find out late today what the metallic substance is on the equipment after being sterilized.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Business. I don't want members of this House to lose sight of the fact that film and creative industries Nova Scotia is still gone, possibly along with all the services they offered. And I've heard from a number of folks in the industry who certainly appreciated the knowledge and the services that they provided. So my question for the Minister today is, will the Minister commit to ensuring that the same level of services previously offered by film and creative industries Nova Scotia will remain offered to the industry?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank my colleague for the question. Obviously, this industry remains important to us. The new Nova Scotia Film and Television Productive Incentive Fund will continue to provide the support to the industry, and those programs transitioned to NSBI will receive the same level of support that was previously provided.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm sure the industry will be relieved to hear that they will be receiving the same level of support. But today, if you go to the NSBI website, there's a stock image of a paintbrush to welcome film and creative industry folks, which links them to a blog by Laurel Broughton. And there's nearly no information on any of the services offered by NSBI to the film industry. So once the government decided to eliminate Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia, a better communication plan should have been put in place. So my question for the Minister is, why wasn't a proper transition strategy put in place to ensure services for the industry would not be interrupted?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I want to inform my colleague that there is a transition plan in place. They continue with that work. To find efficiencies in that service so that we are able to continue to support the industry. We recognize it's very important to Nova Scotia, and we'll continue to work with the industry to achieve the same outcomes that they've assured in the past.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If they want to put a blog up there, I can certainly help them with that. But my question is for the Minister of Finance. Last week, I asked the Minister whether the new plan for the film tax credit would be capped. And we didn't get a straight answer on that day, and I haven't seen one since. The industry is worried that the fund will quickly be used up and that winners and losers will, in fact, be chosen by the government, leaving companies with little confidence that they will be able to complete projects in Nova Scotia. So this doesn't give much reassurance to those contemplating whether to film in this province or whether to look elsewhere. So my question for the Minister is, how is the government going to ensure that the film industry isn't once again abandoned in 6, 8, or 12 months from now?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member opposite for the question. As I said on Friday, and I think it's worth repeating again, the budget for this year is there. It's over $24 million. We expect all the film that has begun principal photography by July 1st to everything will be a commitment and will be honoured. On the go forward, the new film and television incentive program will be in place, and that has $10 million, which we'll begin to receive applications on that. We'll have a good idea how it's going. We'll monitor it through the year. It will be public and transparent, and we'll be able to see what the uptake is.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The industry is left with more questions than answers. They don't know how the government will assess whether or not certain projects go forward or if the funding level is adequate to support the industry. And they also don't know how this government is going to ensure that the distribution of funds is done fairly. So my question for the minister is, has the government given any thought whatsoever to what criteria will be used to assess the adequacy of the level of the fund as they go forward? And how does the government propose to fairly distribute monies without picking winners and losers?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And again, when we look at the criteria for the fund will be set, so that will determine whether or not a production is eligible for support through this incentive fund or incentive program. And as well, Mr. Speaker, there has been communication directly back with Screen Nova Scotia, which said, and I'm just going to read it, it says, as we enter the budgeting process for 16-17, we will meet with the industry to discuss our view around the dynamics surrounding the fund forecast and our planned budgeted approach. So really going back to what was just said in the first question, there will be ongoing and continual conversations with the industry representatives.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today will be to the Minister of Energy. Mr. Speaker, just very quickly, the ComFIT program has been in place for some years now. Is there any changes coming for alternative opportunities for groups who may wish to become part of that?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I want to thank my colleague for the question. As we announced earlier this spring, we have put a pause on the ComFIT program, in fact, mostly because of the success that it has had, and the question being, what should the program look like going into the future? As well, we are undergoing our electricity review, which we'll be tabling in the House very shortly, as well as looking at legislation this fall. Nova Scotians have clearly told us that they would like to see a mix in their choices for electricity in this province. We have listened to that, and we will be bringing forward legislation this fall to put that into action.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for the answer. Could the Minister confirm that solar will be considered as part of that as an option?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
What I can confirm for my honourable colleague is that solar is not currently part of the ComFIT program, but it's certainly part of the mix that is being considered as part of our electricity review, in that Nova Scotians have clearly told us they'd like to have a choice in the producers of electricity as well as the different types of electricity. We've made great strides, certainly in wind energy. We have some very exciting opportunities coming up with tidal energy as well, and certainly solar will be part of the discussions that we have going forward. We will be tabling the results of our electricity review very shortly, and as I've indicated before, we will be bringing forward legislation this fall to put into action the results of that review. Merci.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Health has cut $3.6 million from the long-term care facilities budget, cutting in half their allowance for small equipment replacement. The Minister stated last week that he expects the long-term care facilities will make up the shortfall by leaning on their fundraising foundations. Mr. Speaker, does the Minister realize that not all long-term care facilities have fundraising foundations, and those who do fundraise for extras and not to support operating budgets?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And we feel that with a number of facilities that also benefited from some of the small capital projects that they were able to include some upgrade on their requirements, like dishwashers, furniture, and so on. We feel that the amount in the budget this year will meet the needs, and if there is a point in the year when we get a request from a nursing home, that will certainly be given every consideration.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, the Minister also suggested last week that long-term care facilities will adapt to the cuts to their small equipment replacement budgets because of bulk purchasing, which will drive down costs. To establish a bulk purchasing system requires a lot of planning, coordination, and time, as a standardized procurement system will have to be put in place, Mr. Speaker. So is the Minister of Health prepared to leave these long-term care facilities without important equipment while he sets up an entirely new system for bulk purchasing?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I think the member opposite, Foreign Minister of Health, would be aware that there are actually some homes that do group purchasing now, and we know that that indeed can be expanded. In order to make it, province-wide, will take some time, but I think we're already seeing the benefits of bulk procurement in our province.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Premier. A series of changes by the previous government made the Acadian community feel less important in the eyes of their government. Bringing the Office of Acadian Affairs under the umbrella of the Department of Communities, Culture and Heritage, changes to the French Services, Language Services Act, and changes to the electoral boundaries all contributed to the disappointment and frustration of the Fédération Acadienne. Acadian people are an important part of our province's history, and government should work to help preserve it and protect it. So my question to the Premier, will the Premier reassure members of the Acadian community that he will address their concerns?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. This issue has been raised at our caucus and the Cabinet table by the Minister from the member from Richmond and the Minister of Energy. We have seen, quite frankly, all of us lived through what took place here when we redrew boundaries, and the frustration that was shown by the Acadian communities across this province and by indeed many Nova Scotians who supported the cultural and linguistic differences of the Acadian community here in this province, and felt that it should have been protected inside the legislative arrangements when we look at boundary review. And I have committed to the member from Richmond and the Minister of Energy that I will work with him to see what we can do to alleviate the concerns that are being brought forward.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Earlier today, Mr. Speaker, La Fédération Acadienne de la Nouvelle-Écosse held a press conference. They outlined their concerns that they had regarding government support. They want to invite the Premier to meet with them. So my question to the Premier, will the Premier commit to meeting with members of the La FAN to discuss ways to reverse the policy changes regarding the Acadian community undertaken since 2011?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I'll be more than happy to take that meeting, and with any luck, Mr. Speaker, there'll be rapi pie there for us to enjoy as we solve the challenges that have been left with us.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is for the Minister of Internal Services. The last time that the government's procurement policy was reviewed was in 2009. It is fair to suggest that there have been changes in procurement best practices since that time, and I realize that the government is planning to review procurement policies in the province. So my question to the Minister is this. Can the Minister provide us with an update as to when we should expect an updated procurement policy to be introduced in this House?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'd like to thank the Honourable Member for his question. We have been ongoingly improving procurement in the province of Nova Scotia. A couple initiatives this government has taken. For the first time ever, we have two dedicated auditors who are in the process of being hired right now who will audit all procurement done in the province of Nova Scotia. As an accountant myself, Mr. Speaker, and one who has done quite a bit of audit work, I was very surprised to see that the province of Nova Scotia, who does over $1 billion of procurement, had no auditors in place to actually have checks and balances, and I'm pleased to report to the House that those auditors are now being interviewed, and I look forward to them starting and checking and reviewing all of our procurement processes.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, that was great information, Mr. Speaker, but I mean, he still didn't answer the question, but then I'm not surprised. Mr. Speaker, when bringing forward significant changes as we're talking about, it is important to ensure that we are utilizing best practices, and that's the addition of the auditors is a good thing. One of the most effective ways of doing this, though, is by consulting with the people that are involved in the process, both buying and the ones that are selling. And this can help prevent to overdo hasty mistakes that are made, which has become a trademark of this government. I know. Actually, I've toned that down a lot. Mr. Speaker, my question to the minister is, will the minister ensure that his department consults with suppliers, including small businesses and independent suppliers, to consider their perspectives when they're making changes to procurement policies to make sure that their tax dollars aren't used to drive them out of business?
The Honourable Minister of Internal Services.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank the Honourable Member for the question, and our procurement department already does that. We have an open-door policy. We meet with any suppliers, Nova Scotian, who would like to come and get more information on how they can do business with the government. Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to add that over 80% of the procurement that was done by the province of Nova Scotia last year was done with Nova Scotia companies. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Labour and Advanced Education claims that she is working to attract and retain young people to Nova Scotia. However, with the recent deregulation of tuition costs in the province, it doesn't seem that her department is taking this claim seriously. For example, Cape Breton University is increasing tuition by 20.7% over the next 3 years. Mr. Speaker, how is increasing tuition by over 20% part of a strategy to attract and retain young people?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Honourable Member for the question. I would like to make one correction in what the member said, that is over 4 years, number one. And number two, the other part of this equation, Mr. Speaker, is that universities want to charge similar tuitions for similar programs. We think that's a reasonable thing. What in fact happened was the previous government took $35 million out of the system and did not allow tuitions to move up. There were certain universities that were disadvantaged because tuition had been frozen early. And if they want to keep up the quality, Mr. Speaker, to make sure that we can continue to attract young people here, the money has to come from somewhere. We've been through this before, Mr. Speaker, that government can't pay a whole lot more, taxpayers can't pay a whole lot more, and unfortunately, that's where we are.
The Honourable House Leader for the NDP Party.
Well, I know government's not going to pay a whole lot more, but students in Cape Breton sure are, Mr. Speaker. In May of 2011, the minister herself expressed her concerns over a 3% tuition increase at Cape Breton University while in opposition. I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. 4 years later, Mr. Speaker, the minister claims that 20% increase over 4 years is okay for students. So, Mr. Speaker, can the minister explain why she's changed her mind about rising tuition costs now that she's walked the 6 feet across the floor of this legislature?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What's clear to us is that if we want to maintain the quality of Nova Scotia universities, Mr. Speaker, we have to allow universities some leeway in this matter, Mr. Speaker. I do wish that we were not in this position, but after the New Democrats cut $35 million from the university system, what did they think was going to happen?
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is to the Minister of TIR. As people know, people who live in small communities like Grand Myra South and rural Cape Breton get little services, but they expect good roads. There has been numerous meetings over the roads in Grand Myra South. We've had the Deputy Minister, the head engineer, the local staff, and
the minister has agreed to travel that road with me on a few occasions, and because of my health challenges, we haven't been able to do that. My question to the minister is quite simple. Will the minister work with the local staff to make sure that there are some work done on the Grand Myra South Road this year and a comprehensive plan put in place to the completion of that project?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, I want to say that I'm shocked and appalled by the question from that member. I've toned that down a lot since the... Mr. Speaker, it is a legitimate question. The member's brought it to our attention, and he has a very good relationship with the local TIR folks. So, of course, we'll look at it, Mr. Speaker. There's lots of elements in the equation, but this year, seeing that the member's healthy and back to being his old self again, I'd be happy to do that tour, and we can take a look and then get the details first and up front. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I want to thank the Minister for that answer. And I would suggest that the day we go on that trip, we will probably travel the New Boston Road. Because, Mr. Speaker, the New Boston Road has been an issue since back in the early 80s. There was time and time again. I really believe that if we did a review and look at the amount of money that's been spent on the New Boston Road, we could have pavement there 3 feet thick. But we don't have any pavement yet. So the question is, will the minister look one more time at doing something for the people of the New Boston area?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we'll certainly have one more look at that road. Thank you very much.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Health. Earlier, of course, you answered the question around the sterilization program at the QE2. We know that hundreds of surgeries have been canceled because of those issues with the surgical equipment at the Halifax Infirmary. As of yesterday, 387 surgeries were canceled, and that number continues to grow. The dust that was collected, discovered more than 2 weeks ago, and the hospital's canceling up to that 80 surgeries per day. Media reports show that a doctor has questioned whether the province should take a more proactive approach to renewing the equipment. So my question to the minister is, has the minister considered the suggestion by the doctor to be more proactive, and what actions will the government do, and can he table that?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. When I did receive an update this morning, as the situation continues to add canceled surgeries, we now need to, get a report from the specialist who has been brought in to try and locate the problem as to why this black metallic substance is on equipment after coming through the sterilization process. But we're now moving to a point where ordering new equipment is very much at hand.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Also as troubling, Karen Mumford, Senior Director of the QE2 Health Centre, would not comment on whether reduced summer slowdowns would be considered as a way to make up for lost time. As we know, a lot of the ORs go unused during the summer months. So far, Nova Scotians who've had surgeries cancelled have waited weeks for a solution, but not all options are being considered. I heard the Minister say that maybe ordering new equipment is at hand. So if a prompt solution is not found to address delayed and cancelled surgeries, does the Minister plan to intervene and direct the Health Authority to act immediately?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And this morning I met with the Deputy Minister, and I did express, not just concern, but that we had to take now a very, very planned corrective measures to get those canceled surgeries rebooked, but more importantly, to make a long-term plan for when any piece of equipment in our province goes down, that we have an exceptionally strong backup plan so that we don't get behind in our surgeries or diagnostic procedures.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The McNeill government's decision to shut down Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia is hurting the creative sector. The Premier locked the doors without a plan. Nova Scotia Business Inc. has been given the task of taking over the work of film and creative industries, but the industry is having trouble finding people at NSBI who can answer their questions. My question for the Minister of Business is this. How will new film projects be developed by NSBI?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank my colleague for the question. The transition within NSBI continues, Madam Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the creation of the Nova Scotia Film and Television Production Incentive Fund is now in place. There's resources in NSBI. I've had a number of calls myself and have physically handed two initiatives to NSBI staff for follow-up to ensure that there's continuity to the services that have been provided.
The Honourable Member for Jester St. Margaret's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would suggest that a transition should take place before a decision is made, so everybody's ready to go after that decision. With the sudden closing of Film and Creative Industries Nova Scotia, the province is losing expertise to an organization that had nearly 30 years of experience working in this sector. Question. Who at NSBI has the industry knowledge to take on this file, and how will NSBI handle the exponential increase in demand for their resources?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I've indicated previous, there's three staff who have been transitioned into NSBI. They each bring subject matter expertise in movie, tax, and film. NSBI are prioritizing those needs for service. They continue to provide that service, and they draw down on the expertise of those individuals who have transitioned into the department.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Business. In January 2011, the government of the day announced that 100 people were working at DSME Trenton Limited, and that the plant had ordered for over 30 towers to construct for wind farms. Whether the previous government was getting a little ahead of itself is unknown. But in late January 2012, a year later, DSME Trenton received its first orders for towers for a wind farm in Amherst. That was more than 3 years ago. The question to the Minister, is the Minister of Business able to provide an update today of the current employment levels at the plant, considering the province has a 49% ownership stake?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have those numbers or that information with me, but I'd be more than pleased to source that information for my colleague and provide that to him.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for that answer. Mr. Speaker, tower construction for wind turbines is a reasonably healthy and competitive industry in the Maritimes and elsewhere. However, DSME has struggled when attempting to secure orders to build wind turbine towers. We now have a new Department of Business. My question to the Minister, is the Minister of Business able to provide any details today as to what kind of marketing assistance his department will be able to provide to ensure DSME Trenton is competitive in this industry?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The industry itself obviously is well established. Just recently, they've achieved GE certification for towers. That was this past year. Any number of the Crown corporations, NSBI and InnovaCorp and others, Mr. Speaker, are able to provide support. I'll certainly pursue the matter and have that discussion myself with the CEOs in those areas. And when the opportunity presents itself, I plan to attend Pictou County again, and I'll be sure to drop in and meet the management team there.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal. Today, the Minister released three safety studies, but none were for the dangerous section of highway between St. Croix and through Windsor to Falmouth. And in fact, the section of studied on the 101 was a very low volume section from Digby to Weymouth. But this section I'm referring to through Windsor has been the site of many, many fatalities and have been the subject of discussion in this House. My question for the Minister is, why was there no safety study done on this section of highway from through St. Croix, through Windsor, and to Falmouth?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank the member for the question. When we looked at the number of safety reviews that were released today, the 103, the 104, and the specific section of the 101, we were looking at, for our own uses, we did the internal study with TIR for the 101. We were looking at the very specific section there because of the controlled and uncontrolled access nature of that specific area. We were asked to look at that because of some of the challenges that we've had there and what would it look like to do improvements in that particular section. Mr. Speaker, the result of today's conversation was about the large-scale things that we have to do to make full and widely impactful changes to our entire system, and that's what today was about. Certainly, the member makes a good point. Our department and the public are well aware of the challenges in the 101, and what we've released today will certainly give us an opportunity to continue to look at those areas and make improvements as we see fit and as the capital plan allows. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm a member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank the minister for that answer. Mr. Speaker, last year the Minister promised a number of small improvements or temporary improvements to the section of highway through Windsor and Falmouth, and to date these improvements have not taken place. My question for the Minister is, when can we expect these small improvements through that section of highway to take place?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, there's two approaches here. Certainly, today's study and the plan moving forward will be about the long-term impact of the 101 and how we manage the heavy volumes coming out of Metro and some of the challenges we have along the way. But I can assure the member opposite, we've heard about many of the challenges on the 101, particularly the member from Hants West has brought this to the House a number of times, to my department a number of times. So there is short-term options that we're looking at, certainly through the Windsor Corridor, the Causeway and other areas. So we'll continue to work on those, and we are working on very specific plans for those short-term measures. They will be some of them will be in place for this capital season, this construction season. So we'll get on that, and I can certainly provide the member with a list of those. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this morning the Chronicle Herald reported that the Strait Regional School Board is eliminating 17.3 full-time teaching jobs due to budget cuts. The board serves 6,454 students at 21 schools across the northeastern Nova Scotia and southern Cape Breton. And to quote Board Superintendent Ford Rice, we're experiencing a budget reduction. The story goes on to say that the school board is crunching the numbers and having received its funding allocation for next year. So my question for the Minister of Education, could she please outline changes to the Strait Area School Board's funding for the upcoming fiscal year?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to the member opposite for the question. As we look at how school boards are funded, I've said this earlier on, that a straight funding formula based on enrollment was not the most appropriate way to fund school boards. And so last year, we looked at a hybrid model, which looked at enrollment and program funding. And so that combination is what has been used to provide the funding to all boards this year. I think it's important to recognize that the straight board does have a significant decline in enrollment. And so when you put the hybrid model together, it did translate into fewer dollars, fewer teachers, and still maintaining quality programming for the students in the board.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the Minister for her response. So, Mr. Speaker, St. Mary's Academy in Sherbrooke will actually be losing three full-time teaching positions. And, in fact, their grades primary to six will become multi-grade classrooms with two grades to a teacher. And in April of 2011, the current Minister of Education stood in this House and said it was impossible to make education cuts without an impact in the classroom. Her words, Mr. Speaker, not mine, and I will actually table that. So my question to the Minister of Education today is, could she please describe the impact that her funding cuts will have on students in the Strait Region School Board?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think it's important to state in the House here that the boards do receive their funding based on that hybrid model, and they make decisions at the board as to where they will allocate the teachers based on the student needs. But I would also mention to the House that we have in this province for many years had classrooms where a teacher was working with more than one grade level, and I might say, Mr. Speaker, very successfully.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Energy. During the election campaign, the government said Nova Scotians would see a decrease in their power rates, and today I'm tabling a power bill belonging to an 85-year-old woman living on her own in Three Mile Plains, Hants County. Nova Scotia Power told her that they were estimating meter readings during the winter's heavy snowfall, and as a result, this woman was stuck with a two-month power bill of $962.10, which is up from her usual bill of $275. And unfortunately, this is not the only example of $900 power bills being sent out in Hants County for the months of February and March. So my question for the minister is the minister prepared to look into these estimated meter readings?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, I don't have all the details of this particular account, but more than happy to look into it. In fact, as an MLA for 17 years now, I've had the opportunity on many occasions to work with constituents and Nova Scotia Power. They have a dispute resolution process as well internally. I've found them to be quite helpful over the years in assisting constituents, whether it be who had fallen into arrears or had specific questions regarding their accounts. More than happy to look into any concerns regarding this specific account.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do thank the Minister for that answer. We've had some success with that process ourselves, but in this case, for some reason, Nova Scotia Power seems to be digging their heels in. And the Minister will know that such a bill is inexcusable for an elderly lady living on her own. It's one thing for there to be a $20 increase, but a $688 increase over 2 months gives the impression that she's running a large commercial operation, which she is clearly not. So I thank the Minister for his answer, and I just ask that he also consider asking the UARB to investigate the practices that are causing such large winter increases for Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and as I indicated to my colleague, I'm more than happy to look into the specifics of the situation and would ask him to share more information so that we can get the details from Nova Scotia Power. But he is correct in the fact that Nova Scotia Power is a private utility governed by the Nova Scotia Utility and Review Board. If Nova Scotians have specific concerns, they can bring those directly to the Utility and Review Board for their consideration. But again, more than happy to review this specific matter and see if a resolution can be found for the Honourable Member's constituent.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to government business. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would move that you do now leave the chair and that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole on bills.
The House will now recess for a few minutes while it resolves itself into the committee of the whole House on bills.